Yes.
Oh, she a Cowboy fan?
She loves the Cowboys.
She just loves the 88 years old.
If the game goes to midnight, she'll stay up and watch every play.
Pete, did you turn the air conditioner on?
I did.
It's really funny. She knows what she's talking about. That's what's really funny.
She and Jeff could probably get into a big discussion.
Bum versus.
You got to call his mother and you can have somebody to talk to.
She'll talk to you.
She can call 1-800-COWBOYS.
She's interested in all that shit.
Romans 7. We talked Friday about the three words that Paul used to describe man. Everybody remember that?
Yes.
Was that helpful to anybody?
It helped me see what other people are doing.
What other people? It wasn't helpful then, was it? All right. So we're now in verse 15. For that which I do, I allow not. For that I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that I do. Before we get to that, we have to go back to verse 14. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. The word sold, it's in the perfect tense. And it means that it doesn't matter what you think about it. It means that it has its present result. The mortgage has been foreclosed. And sin owns the slave. The slave, in a very real sense, is the fallen Adam. And Adam is sin. But in the way we describe it, the sin is the Antichrist, the instead of Christ, the offspring or the child of the evil one, of the devil. And that's hard to conceive of because we think we're moral free agents. And until this gets into your head, you won't hear anything. Until you know that that which is you is a property of sin. And again, sin is not a moral issue any more than a tree is a moral issue. Sin is an environment, and you're sold into that environment by the fall of Adam. There's nothing you can do about it. You're not redeemable. God doesn't love you. Is that clear to everybody?
I've always had a little trouble with that. God doesn't love me. Does Christ love me?
The love of God is centered in one place. Let's go to Romans 8. We'll study ahead a minute. Verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. The love of God is centered in his Son. God so loved the world, the cosmos, the bride, that he gave his Son for the bride. Is that clear? The comic book theology that God just loves you and he wants you to be happy and wants you to do this and wants you to do that. And it's just crazy.
There's not a lot of evidence.
There's no evidence.
Yeah, some people can fake it and make it look evidence that way on the outside.
Well, I used to have these on the radio when I had the talk shows. These people come on and talk about how much God loved them and everything. I would say, does God love you more than the 75,000 children that are dying of starvation this year? Does God love you more than, ad nauseum you can... Oh, that's Satan. So then Satan is greater than God. We're in a war. Sometimes Satan wins. No, Satan never wins. Satan was defeated at the cross. And everything that the human race does, and everything that you do to improve your life, to get you better, to get you something, is to try to make you acceptable to the one who has the right of the kin, let's call it Levirate right, the nearer kinsman. Until this penetrates you, then you're just going to believe the fairy tale, just like any other. It's no more ludicrous than the fairy tale that, if you're going to blow yourself up and God's going to give you 72 virgins.
People believe that, too.
Well, that doesn't matter
kind
what...
of thing. They will believe anything that the clergy
Go to India, and there's 5 million named gods. In America, there's only about 3,000. But it's the rarest thing in the universe to believe in a monotheistic, to one God. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. It can't be two. If there's two, it can't stay two. And it instantly multiplies exponentially. Because then your God or your value system, the thing you worship, will just multiply. That's why it's the all of the law and all of the commandments hang on this one thing, that you love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. That's only possible in a monotheistic, because otherwise you'll have a value system for everything. Oh, I love my family, and I love this, and I love that. And invent things like family values. And you think that something you do is important, so you'll have an agenda. Then you love the agenda. It goes on and on and on, and you slowly but surely create more and more little gods to worship. Remember, worship just means give breath to. What you love, you worship. It's not optional. I mean, that's the whole... You can say you love God all you want. The test of it is, do you lay your life down for your neighbor? The paucity of the modern theology is seen in the... It was the same as in Sodom and Gomorrah. It became a walled city. Didn't care for the poor. And each one of you can become that same walled city. Each one of us. Amen?
Yeah, it's very clear to me that if I'm energized, there's only one thing that matters, and that's me. I can make believe, I can sometimes kid myself that I care about something else, but I really don't. It all comes down to me.
All right, back to Romans 7.
I can't say God loves me, but I can say God loves us.
Right. Because us is the bride.
The us is. Where are we at?
We're still in verse 15. For that which Now we're in 15. 7:15. You understand that you have been sold under sin. It's not optional. You can't decide you're not sold. You can't believe in the illusion of free will. There's only two wills in the universe, the will of God and the will of Satan. The will of God is expressed in laying down your life for others. The will of Satan is expressed in self for self. It's not negotiable. It's a what is. For that which I do, I allow not. Allow is, it means not just, it doesn't mean just like let. It means that there is nothing in my experience that can justify or my own, it's this thing about, it's genosko. It means that by your experience, you know that you know that you know. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I want to do or would do, that do I not. But what I hate, that I do. Anybody have any problem? You think this is wrong? For that which I desire, this I do not do. But that which I hate, this is what I do. As long as the I is manifested, then this is the end. You can have all the, remember what we've talked about this so often, that what you're consciously against, you're subconsciously subject to. All right. Verse 16, if then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. It means to consent is means that you speak together with, to concur with. My wanting to do the opposite of what I do proves my acceptance of God's law as good. Again, and I'm a living, breathing example of this. I had no, I mean, what I did, I did. I didn't, it had no moral or, as you heard me say often, rules are for when brains were not. That's what my mantra was until I found out I didn't have any brains. I mean, it's just, but we make these half laws that we think we can keep in very limited environments. And we just kid ourselves, we con ourselves, so that you have to have some integrity to say this. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. So you have to admit that you're doing what you don't want to do. If you can't admit that, that's why this the hidden things of dishonesty in us are rampant.
And the reason it's good is because of the fruit it produces.
We're not talking about fruit yet. You're just consenting that if you do what you don't want to do, then you're consenting unto the law that it is valuable, that it is good. You reach an impasse there. Since the law does not desire what I do, then I'm consenting that the law is good. Proves my acceptance of the law. Okay, now, in verse 17, now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Now, this isn't now as temporal. It means this is now, it's new me, which means it's the logical, tautological statement. That if I consent unto the law that it is good, but I don't do it, then now it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. And this isn't the cliche of the devil made me do it. It's much, much deeper than that.
Saying I'm cursed.
You're saying you are under the curse, exactly. And there's nothing you can do about it. No matter, you can accept Jesus as your personal Savior 53,000 times a day. What? You're doing it. Now you're doing it, Gary.
No, it's just that, I mean, and there's more than that. I mean, you can sit alone in a cell in the dark and try and not sin. You can try to control your mind. You can, I mean, there's nothing that will be successful in cleaning up your act.
Again, it's because of the, it's to me, it's the least studied thing in modern religion, and that is the curse, the fall. Because we each, if you don't believe it now, you certainly did for most of your life. You believe that the curse was maybe some historical thing at best, but you certainly didn't believe it had anything to do with you.
And that thing you said a couple of minutes ago, your old thing about rules are for when brains run out. I heard that and I thought, yeah, what are brains? Brains really are magic. My ability to cast spells will change things, will get me out of this mess. I can use my powers to overcome the fall. I mean, it's magic belief.
Right, that's why in the world it's the survival of the fittest. And in Babylon, it's rules or how-tos. In the world, the survival of the fittest, for some it doesn't take us very long to find out we're not fit. But because we're not fit, then we have to go to Babylon and learn rules of how to do it, or at least rules of so that we can act like we're doing it.
Come inside.
And it's all about outward appearance. It has nothing to do with the heart. And that's the only thing God sees in the first place. There's no more I that do it, but sin, or Adam, or the evil one that dwelleth in me. But yet I live, but not I, but Christ that liveth in me. And that's what eventually he will say. Oh, no. This touches on the unsayable mystery. How do you speak of this? Even Paul had trouble speaking of it. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live. Yet not I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. In the life I do live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Remember, it started out in first he was justified. He thought he'd be justified by having faith in Christ. And then that didn't work too well. And he's finally only justified by the faith of Christ, and he has to live by the faith of him. We were redeemed by his death, but we are saved by his life. Is this penetrating?
It's so amazing to me how the language is so slippery. When you say, I am saved by his life,
you have to ask, who is the I?
Yeah, the mind wants to say, oh, good, there he is. Now I am saved and God loves me. But that's the trick, always waiting.
All right.
Before I was like a 12 or whatever it was when I decided to come inside and behave. Before then, I thought I could overcome. I thought I could win. I thought I could overpower the world. Then when I saw that that wasn't going to work, then it was, okay, I will settle for a truce. I will do what I'm supposed to do. I'll behave. And the world, do your part. You play by the rules. If I work hard, then I should get ahead. If I behave, I shouldn't be hassled. If I do this, then that. And that
In every one of us, there's a point in time, in every human that ever lived, there's a point in time in which they sell out. It normally happens in teenage years or preteen. And we sell out. Just as Harry said, we find out that my rebellion isn't working, and so therefore I must behave.
That'll pay off.
In order to get a payoff in time. And we see it. We get a payoff because we don't get, if we're little kids, we don't get smacked as often. But it's death the moment you sell out. Because what you're doing is you're selling out to the traditions of men instead of the faith of God. It's a huge sellout. It's at least as big as the original fall. Anybody know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, and as a group, we call it socialization. We call it a good thing. You've come into the society.
I sold out to being antisocial. I remember doing it.
For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. Now the word will there isn't like a free will word. It means what you want, what you desire at any given moment. It is sin and nothing but sin that has to be taken account of in this connection. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, there dwelleth no good. In me, regarded as a fallen creature of the flesh, apart from any revelation or any affinity for God and His Spirit. It's not negotiable. You can con yourself all your life as a believer into believing you have the mind of Christ. Therefore, your thoughts are sanctified. Therefore, you can run around all day and say, God, and you and God were having a conversation. I promise you that was you and you were having a conversation. All right. The word will is thelo, the being constantly desirous. To will is present, and it's interesting. The will is present is parakaimai. It means to lie beside. You're lying beside the perfect will of God, i.e., Jesus Christ in you. For I know that in me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing, for to will is present, but how to perform that which is good I find not. The words how and find are not in the Greek text. It says, but to perform the good, no, not, it can't be. And let's study a few verses. Let's go to 2 Peter. Well, 1 Peter first. 1 Peter chapter 1.
Wish your audience here.
Verse 22. Seeing 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22.
Man, this dang thing.
nose is crying on the outside.
Laughing on the inside.
Yeah. Verse 22, seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. And this is the seed. That seed isn't placed in you. Do you know there's not an altar call in the scriptures? There's nowhere does it say if you accept Jesus as your personal Savior. There's nowhere that says make a decision for Christ.
The closest one would be choose you this day who you'll serve, and then the response is you can't serve.
You cannot serve the Lord. But what have we done with this? We've made it into something other than the seed of Christ was placed in all men on the Feast of Pentecost. The sperma of God, that's what happened. On the Feast of Pentecost, the same thing that happened to Mary happened to all men. The only difference is it's the placing of the fullness of the Son spiritually. It's not just no longer just the germ that has to grow and go through the same thing, because He is now the way. And He's what's left when everything that you can think of is gone. I've said so often, as long as you have the strength to make a decision, you'll choose the Antichrist, the instead of Christ, because you will choose that which will cause you realization of self. Everybody understand that? All right, let's go back to Romans 7. One more verse and we'll quit for the day. Well, we'll do three more verses. These are just expanding on what we talked about. Verse 19, for the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that's what I do. Now, if I do that which I don't want to do, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law. This is huge. I find then a law that when I would do good, it's evil is present with me. In the Greek, it says the evil one is present with me. When I would do good, this is why all of you have heard me when I, any of you thought we were doing anything good. You can't. As long as you think you're doing something good, as long as you want to do good, I find in a law, the evil one is present with me. It can't...
The curse pollutes everything.
Yeah.
I was talking about this yesterday at our Kol Nidre without even being aware of it. But I've gotten to the point now where there's just, in my existence, there's two states. One is... everything is absolutely perfect and wonderful, and I'm having a great time, and I'm not even aware. It's just happening. And the other one is I'm thinking, and if I'm thinking, I'm in hell. I'm angry, I'm hateful, I'm fearful.
You forgot one other thing that can get that to you. Only ask you to do something.
If I think about it. If I don't think about it, it's fine. I mean, those are the only two states. And I realize that's what this is. Because if I'm thinking, then it's I would do good, and the evil one is resurrected. He's back in action.
And we it's hard for us to understand what this means because it's so prevalent. Each of us have been trying since there was awareness of self to be our own redemption. And we the redemption is that which we do to gain acceptance or gain something you want. And so you believe, your mindset, the words that have been used your whole life, you know, is you're a good little boy, or, you know, if you do good, you get, if you, you know, if you eat your broccoli, you'll get your apple pie, or, you know, whatever it is. It's just endemic to this, to the beast. And so you're programmed to have your own redemption. Do you understand what that means, Jeff? And it's, you know, Harry is the great one in this, because we've been together for so long, and I have a pretty good memory about some things. But in innumerable numbers of times over the years, when Harry goes on one of his visits to Guam, he says, I've done the best I could. I've been here. I've done the best. I've tried the best I can. And all I hear when that happens is self-redemption, 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 self-redemption.
He's trying to do it through deeds instead of through faith.
And the same is true in all kinds of interpersonal relationships. You try to do something nice for your wife so she isn't upset at you. Well, how well has that worked? It's all it did, it keep florists in business.
I tried that too.
You're telling her all this detailed stuff, and all she hears is self-redemption, self-redemption.
Yeah, exactly. You start a fight just before you go.
And then what happens? Then both of you, you take all of the weapons that you've stored in your armory out and start.
Like this. Never like that.
Told you once, I told you 1,000 times.
That's a good place to stop. Take a big guy. It's a good thing that this isn't on television.